Welcome back, Barker. Look at that weather out there. 15 centimeters. Oh, it's so nice. I mean, you got to love the change of season. Right? You got to love the change of season. Listen, I had to put up with all your grief on social, on all your texts, all your Instagram stuff of you in the sun. Give me at least
payback time.
Give me at least 20 seconds to gloat.
I go for it.
This could be the biggest snowfall of the year, you know.
Yeah, stay hot.
Nice to be back. Eh?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Never been happier. Absolutely. watching your Jays, and
it's good to be back.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
It's good to have Kevin back in studio.
Yeah, you're such a liar.
What? No, I look happy.
Liar.
I look happy.
I bet.
It was lonely in here without
was
you.
Was it really?
Just me?
Yeah.
I mean, this big room.
You carrying half the show? How do you do that? How'd that go?
Well, pretty well.
The guests still want to come back.
Guests, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it was interesting that the guests wanted to be on with me and not with you.
Wow.
I found that interesting.
That's one person. You have to pay that person to come on. That's all you need to know. Okay.
I mean, just telling it like it is.
Well, yeah.
Now, anyhow, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Did you see anything watching the games that I didn't see? I mean, was there something that stood out to you? A player that stood out to you? Then we're talking Blue Jays here. We're not talking league-wide or other teams.
I mean, like a lot of people, Dalton Varsho's spring is, you know, Bo's been good. Vladdy, it's nice to see Vladdy turning some balls. But Varsho just looks really comfortable to me. And I don't know, and I hope he is, because I like him as a guy, and I like him as a player. I think he's, you know, he gives you good defense. I think he's smart in the bases. And if he can hit, I think he's going to be a fine player for the. I'll tell you what, I think Dalton Varsho is going to be part of this team for a long time.
Yeah, there are a couple of bad seasons from certain players from being a fourth place team. That's basically where they're at. If they don't get some really good.
And we're not
seasons.
Just talking about we're not just talking about Vladdy and Bo here.
You're talking about
Springer.
Yeah. Well, again, look, it's, you know, Springer last year looked old. I mean, let's not lie about it. He'll be 35 this year. Like, it's, you know, there are 34, whatever the age is. Like, he's getting up there in age, and, you know, there's a reason why they're throwing him fastballs in and elevating fastballs and not, you know, not throwing him breaking balls and breaking ball counts. Like, they're, you know, and you can tell he's, you know, trying to stay away from cheating. But again, they're offensively, they got to score 5 runs a game. Can they do that? That's the big thing, right? It's 6 teams did that last year in MLB. It's not the easiest thing to do, but when you look at what they have to do, where they're trying to do it in the American League East, the teams that are around them that are better, like, you got to make up ground. And the only way for me they do that is to score more. And that's the big thing. Can they do it? And can the guys you just mentioned have better seasons? Like, it's time, right? It's time for us to not make excuses about good dudes hitting in the cleanup spot and, you know, been traded over. Like, it's time for them to walk away from that and just be them. We'll see if they can do it.
Yeah. It's frankly been time for a couple of years.
You're talking about one guy.
I mean,
you're not talking about an entire lineup.
Here's the thing with this team. You know, I said last year that to me they looked like a lineup that had a trade fall through. Like, they looked like it looked like a plan B lineup to me.
Well, that's not how the people that run that team talk. They don't talk like that.
I said last year. Now, this year, well, I want to play this clip from Mark Shapiro, who spoke to the media yesterday. He did like an hour session with the writers, and then he sat down and did a sit down with us. He did have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And it's always good to hear from Mark. This was Mark Shapiro talking about the pivot from Shohei Ohtani to, I guess, doing nothing. Play the clip, please.
I mean, it's founded in the belief of our own players in their maturation as they move from young players into the prime of their careers, complementing them with the players that we did add or bring back this offseason, because we did spend almost $50 million, you know, during the offseason on this year's team. But the core of the offseason was the reality that it's not one offseason, that it's multiple offseason, multiple trade deadlines, drafting and developing, and that we're at a point where we believe deeply in the players in place. We believe deeply in what they've committed to ensuring that they have the best years of their career and that they are positioned to take ownership and accountability and leadership of this team. So it's founded in all those things.
So here's the thing, and people seem to be surprised by this yesterday, and I was shocked that people were surprised by it because it's something we've been saying all along. Mark was very clear yesterday. The plan going into the offseason was to focus on the core of the team. We talked about bringing in, you know, giving Don Mattingly a new role, bringing in Matt Haig, all this thing, you know, trying to streamline the process, whatever. That was the focus this year. That was going to be the focus all along. Shohei Ohtani was a business opportunity unlike any other business opportunity. And this is what Mark said yesterday. And we've been saying this all along because the idea was, okay, well, they were willing to spend whatever, $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. So now just take that money and give Vladdy $200 and Bo $250. And no, that was never the plan. If Shohei Ohtani hadn't been a free agent this year, the Jays would have done the same thing they did right now. Ohtani was a unique business slash baseball opportunity. Completely separate from it, from everything else. And yeah, that's basically what Mark said yesterday. A lot of the stuff Mark said yesterday had to do with the renovations to the ballpark. You know, and apparently the premium seats have sold, which is good. Even though, you know, we were led to believe that some of the lounge areas aren't going to be ready till halfway through the year. Apparently that was, you know, that, I don't know if that was the plan, but it doesn't appear as if it blindsided anybody. So a lot of the focus yesterday was on the stadium. You know, people are going to roll their eyes, but listen, folks, I can tell you what. I remember when Paul Beeston was president and he used to do his state of the franchise thing every year. I remember one year where the first question was, Paul, how come there's no hot water in the 200 level? People forget what a dump this place was at one point. So, you know, ownership had to pour almost $500 million into this place. But I understand. That's not, I'm just saying that as a fact. That's not enough to get people out. But when Mark talks about that, it's because that is very important to the Blue Jays business. And folks, you had a choice. Either you're going to sink $500 million into this stadium at some point, or we're going to be talking about building a new stadium. That's just the case. Anyhow, that a tangent, but that kind of just, it annoys me when people go, oh, they spent money on the stadium, but not in the team. Well, the stadium falls down. It doesn't matter how good your team is. But again, getting back to this team, Kevin, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that that was the plan, that they were going to depend on this team getting better inside. Like, I gotta tell you the truth, I came away from that thinking, I don't know if they were even in on Cody Bellinger. I don't know if they made a play for him.
Yeah.
All these other, I don't know how, were they, did they, I don't know, did they make, yeah. Were they serious with Matt Chapman? I don't know.
Yeah, the people that I talked to, they were not. Like, they had offered something to Matt, you know, it's his right to,
yeah.
Because of where he was at in his career, trying to get paid more money. And you didn't think the Jays were offering enough? You go somewhere else. It didn't seem to work out for Matt. Sometimes it's not always greener on the other side, right? You got to be careful, you know, who your agent is and what the information you're trying to get and go out and try and make the most money you're possibly going to make. Look, it's about winning. Like, yeah, when you start dropping money on stadiums and trying to raise ticket prices, and even Mark said this at the end yesterday, it's about winning. Like, now they got to win. Again, you can say what you want, who they brought in here, who they didn't bring in here. You know, I got my feelings about Ohtani. I mean, did we really think Ohtani was coming here? I understand they were going to offer it, and they did offer it, and good for them. Like, they were in on it. But if you're Ohtani, who are you picking? Just be honest about that. So this sort of was – at the end of the tunnel, you could sort of see how this was going to take shape. And this is why we were saying it. It would be nice if you had both, like a Turner and a Martinez, right? Then now all of a sudden your lineup's longer. Like, you could sort of
hide. Martinez, by the way, signed for $12 million with the Mets.
Yeah, it's not a ton of money. It's not less than
Kiner Falefa's getting over 2 years.
Not a ton of money, and that's the guy, right? Is you could hide some of what you would have to play
if you had some better hitters because your lineup's longer and, you know, no team's got nine great hitters. Just doesn't happen that way. But now, you know, IKF has to put up a little offensively. And have you seen anything in spring training? I haven't either.
I've
seen it up close. It didn't look great. Like, he's a more of a defensive player. It's not his fault. Sort of knew that coming over here, that he's a Swiss Army knife. Like, he can play all over the place, but offensively. And that's why they keep yelling and screaming about the core. We are, you know, we're happy and we're hoping that they do these things and they live up to what we think they can live up to, because they have some other places that aren't real good.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to fill in the blanks with the core. So it'd be intriguing. I'm just intrigued to see if they score more runs. Can they do that? I mean, can you just go from where they were at last year at about 4.5 runs a game to close to 5? Now, again, I get back to that. Six teams last year scored 5 runs or more. It's not the easiest thing. So you're adding almost 70 more runs in a season and didn't really do anything to help your lineup other than bringing experience in the cleanup spot.
It is Friday. We're going to get to the back leg line, 416-413-3959. A reminder that the Jays and Red Sox played today at 105.
Your boy, Mitch White.
Mitch White.
Boy, it'd be nice. I'm trying to be as nice as I could possibly be.
Mitch White, baby.
But it's not performance-driven anymore. It's about how many options you got left. And sometimes that you can roll your eyes at.
I'm not rolling my eyes.
Well, you were talking about fans rolling eyes.
No, I'm not rolling eyes.
That's one of those things where, man, it's like you're trying to win and all the teams in the East got better. And sometimes you're going to have to run out Mitch White.
Well, you traded for the guy, so somebody in the organization really likes him. Yeah. Anyhow, Mitch White gets a start today for the Jays against the Red Sox. 1 o'clock, that game is on Sportsnet and streaming online. Varsho, Guerrero, Clement, Vogelbeck, IKF, Escobar, Lucas, Servin, Addison Barger, and Mitch White. Jesus. That'll be the Jays lineup for the game. As I said, it's Friday. Let's get to the back leg line for CJ Nikowski. Is going to join us, by the way, later on. I'm going to pick the Braves to win the World Series this year, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
You going went from out the Phillies limb. To the Braves. Like
going out on the limb. Let's go to the back leg line. Know. Tom in Calgary.
My basic question is, how did we go from chasing a $700 million guy to doing nothing? And I just don't understand the pivot.
Yeah, you do.
And to my knowledge, it's never been expressed by either Shapiro or Atkins what the plan is for the team. Like, everybody out west, and I'm sure down east, we're all thinking to ourselves, what the heck are we doing with Vladdy and Bo? Are we actually going to waste their talents while they are in their prime? And so because of all of these factors, like I said, my wife and I, we still watch the Blue Jays, but we're not going to spring training, and we're not going to fly down for any series this year because we don't know what we're looking at. We don't know what we're supposed to expect in the future. And I'm just wondering if you guys, with all of your contacts and with your conversations, have any insight as to what the plan is short term and let's say 5 years down the road. I really appreciate your time and love the show. Thank you guys.
I want to throw this out there too. Tom from Calgary, he and his wife, they travel. They've been traveling to watch the Blue Jays since 1980.
It's a lot of fun. I made it a point to go sit in the stands a couple of times with my son. It's a lot of fun there. Like, you know, forget about just what the product you're watching and what the expectations you think the team should look like. Man, that's a good time. Like, it really is to take your family and, you know, the weather, just everything. The other teams that like, my son was excited, I told you, to see the Orioles.
Should be.
Because the Orioles are a really good team. And he's rooting for his favorite player, Vlad. Like, that's not why you shouldn't go down there, is because you're frustrated.
No, but I think
that they brought Turner instead of Ohtani.
No, like, but the reason we picked the call is because it deals with what we were just talking about. You know, I'm not a big. There's this thing we do in the media where we say, "Well, the fans think this." You know, the fans, and basically, it's kind of a cowardly way of saying. Sometimes it's a cowardly way of saying what you actually feel. Instead of me saying, I think this team is going to suck, I can say, well, there's a lot of fans out there that think the team is going to suck. So, but in this case, yeah, it's true. It's like backing into it. But in this case.
Or you throw it to me.
Or I throw it to you and ask you how much this team's going to suck, which they're not going to. But in this case, you know, Tom's point was, it's a team that won fewer regular season games last year than it did the year before. Last year was not a better year than the year before. They got great pitching. In terms of pitching, it was. Last year was not a better year. Last year was a step back. We got to say the way it was.
Yeah.
It was a step back last year. And I think for that reason, fans are looking at this and going, okay, the team was worse last year than it was the year before. And, you know, you're doubling down on guys, like, with all due respect to Vladdy and Bo, what the hell have they done in the postseason?
Yeah, look, I, what would have made fans happy? Is it Ohtani or nothing? That's what it sounds like.
I think even
Tom calling in there, I mean, he seems like a great fan.
I think fans...
That's the only way I'm going to be happy is if Ohtani comes. If you bring Cody Bellinger here, all of a sudden that's a World Series winning team.
No. But here's the thing. If you bring Cody Bellinger here, you are saying to the fan base that you're saying to everybody, including us, you're saying we realize not only were we not good enough last year, our players may not be good enough to get where we need to go. I keep getting back to this. We're not talking, this team hasn't done anything in the postseason. I don't know why people are afraid to say that. This team's done nothing in the postseason. Bo and Vladdy, I love them.
I think it's more that you're in a conversation with Ohtani, and then you see what the Yankees do. That's what it is. And you see what the Orioles go out and do with their rotation. Like, it's the other teams are doing
bigger names, and the
Blue Jays are not. I'm assuming that's what fans of the Blue Jays
are
saying.
A Juan Soto would have been great. Team doesn't have the minor league system to get it.
We know that, but that's my point. Is what would make a fan happy? Like, is there enough?
I think,
is it a combination? Is it three people? Like, it's. I just don't think he could do enough if it's not Ohtani.
Here's what it. You know what would make fans happy? Not having Isaiah Kiner Falefa starting at third base.
Would Matt bringing Matt Chapman overpaying for that? Would that make you happy?
That would make fans happier
than
having.
You think so?
Hell yeah, to make me happier than having Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Really?
Yeah. You'd rather have Isaiah Kiner Falefa every day than Matt Chapman.
They're trying to call bull on that. They're trying to fill their team with predictability.
Well, yeah,
like,
he's predictably mediocre.
When it comes to catching the ball right at you. It's like,
I can find guys who can catch a ball out in the street here.
It was an easy way for them to sort of turn the page and do something different. They didn't. But it was, you could see the writing on the wall, right? They offered. Sounds like they offered.
Yeah.
He turned it down. You move on.
Dan from Eastern Passage. What a great name. Nova Scotia.
Hey, Dan.
The Jays didn't seem to run the bases particularly well last year.
Didn't. No, they stunk.
I'm not talking about stealing necessarily, but, you know, advancing when, where they should, not making dumb mistakes. Barker, was that a focus this spring from what you saw when you were down there? How do they improve? Is it attention to the little things as we hear them talk about? Yes. Are there actual, I don't know, drills, scenarios the team can practice to kind of get over this? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much. Love the show.
Yeah, look. This is not Oakland. This is not the Nationals where you're bringing guys up from the minor leagues trying to figure out what they are and they're learning at the big league level. The people that I saw screw it up were dudes like George Springer in spring training, as I'm a coach, I ain't going to walk up. Now, they did. You could see it in the dugout. They were yelling at George, basically with their arms crossed, going, you know, basically, what the heck you doing? With Bo up first and second against the Orioles, I know it's a spring training game, but we're going to beat the Orioles? You can't be getting thrown out at third with Bo up. There's a reason why we put Bo sometimes in the three hole against the lefty. It's because we're trying to get him up with you second base. That coaching thing to where drills, no. That's something that you have to know how to do. As a coach, I can't teach you how to not go to third on a ball that doesn't go far enough away from a catcher. I can't keep you from doing that. I can't yell and scream at you at third enough to tell you not to come. That is up to a player to understand the inning, who's up, who you're facing, how that run would matter, right? You get ahead in the game. It's just everything that comes with being a really good baseball player matters. And I just don't see how that's like, because a lot of the times it's the guys that you really count on who are screwing it up. It's not the Espinals who are not there anymore. It's not the role players.
Look at that.
It's not the Kevin
Bishop. Look at that playoff game against Minnesota.
Yeah, it's Vladdy. Right. I mean, you're going to bring that back to getting picked off at second. And that's because he ain't hitting. Like, he's more worried about the hitting part of it and not paying attention to things he needs to do to help his team.
That's an individual thing. That has nothing to do with coaches at this level of where the Blue Jays are at.
Yeah, you made a point very early when you started doing this show that I found really interesting. I hadn't thought of, but it reminded me of something that the guys that I covered back in the day used to say. And you made the point about, you want to be a good teammate, run the base as well. Take the extra base.
Score from first on the ball.
If you want to be a good teammate, do that. And you also made the point about being, one of the things you were good at as a player is you knew how to run the bases.
Because I had to.
That doesn't mean that you were going to steal 100 bases every year, but you knew how to get around the base paths and put yourself in position
to score. I was a big dude. I wasn't a fast runner. What's that tell me right out the gate that I need to do if I'm standing at second? Small lead, big secondary lead. Because small leads, what's that do? They forget about you. They're not paying any attention to you. They're not trying to pick you off because you don't have a big lead. It's baseball 101. As a coach, when you're on an experienced World Series championship team, I shouldn't have to walk up to George Springer and say, do you know who's hitting?
Yeah.
Do you know who we're playing? It's little things like that that the individual has to take upon himself to figure it out. And that for me is what it is. And if they don't do it, they will finish in fourth place. I mean, it's cut and dry. It's real simple because of the other teams that are in the East.
One thing, we're going to move on to another caller, but I didn't want to touch on this yesterday, the Jays beat the Pirates.
Justin Turner, it's a good question.
Yeah, Justin Turner made his first start at third base yesterday, and there's a little nugget in Shai's article today where the Jays are thinking that maybe they're looking at Justin Turner 10 to 15 games at third.
That's Joey Votto. I mean, if Joey Votto comes back and you know, again, I have no idea how they're going to use Joey,
right?
But you know, perfect scenario, he would be DHing. And Justin, Turner would play third. Right. IKF wouldn't be on the field.
Right.
And you know, Vladdy would be playing first. Like, now all of a sudden you got more experience. Yeah. You got competitive at-bats. You got better chances of driving in runs with two outs. That's sort of perfect scenario. So, you know, hopefully he's 39. You don't want to see it a ton, but a little. If it helps the team, it's the best lineup on the field. That's all you're asking for, right?
Also got to mention Ricky Tiedemann yesterday against the Pirates lineup. Pirates have hit a ton of home runs this spring against the Pirates lineup. 3 innings, 1 hit, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, 98 miles an hour. Threw some really nice sliders, backdoored a couple of the sliders. I think he told Shai afterwards, 8 changeups, got 3 called strikes. On the changeups?
Yeah, I don't think they're afraid to use him. I mean, if it calls for them to call him up and use him in the big leagues, they will do it. I think they have a set number of innings this year. I think you're absolutely right. They're okay using those innings in the big leagues.
I think you're absolutely right.
They like his arm. They can simplify it enough, put him against the right competition, that his stuff will play. You know, you start with the 98. That's not me. I like the slide. Can he steal a strike with a slider? Can he eliminate a good right-handed hitter with a slider? Can he throw a changeup in a fastball count and get a strike or a weak contact on a good right-handed hitter? Seems like some of the times he can do that. Not all the time. He's a kid. Sometimes because of mechanics, it's all over the place. He falls behind. He really don't know how to get back into the count, a pitcher's count, by using secondary pitches. But because he has Pete Walker, and it's better in the big leagues, they could use that stuff that he has to get, you know, I'd say a quality start, but get a decent start to allow a team to win a baseball game. So they're not afraid. I have been told they are not afraid to use him in the big leagues sometime this year if they need to.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, really, why not?
98 don't grow on trees.
Calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I called about a month ago, mentioned Varsho as a cleanup hitter later on this year. Looks like he's having a pretty good spring. We'll see where he goes from there. But
this one for you.
I know Barker didn't think that it was a good idea, that he'll never be a cleanup hitter, but my vote's still in for Varsho as a cleanup hitter coming about July, August. All right, bye.
Tell you what, if Dalton Varsho is a cleanup hitter in July or August, I'm not...
Look, you're not gonna rule out that you might see his occasionally name p-
penciled in the cleanup.
Yeah, depending on how he's he's going.
Because the cleanup hitter is a fossil. Like, he's just old and occasionally will need a couple of days off. Like, it's true. Like, I ain't saying that in a bad way.
No,
Turner will tell you that, you know, he's got to adjust his what he does routine wise off the field has to be on par because of his age. Like, it's a fact. Mm-hmm. And if they have to, you know, with a hot Dalton Varsho, you know, against a decent right-handed pitcher, put him in a cleanup spot to continue to, you know, ride out the hot streak, you're okay with that. But you see 30, 40, 50 games of hit and cleanup, boy, that season went the wrong way.
Let me ask you this, just out of interest's sake. Who would be, I mean, I don't even know if this is, if for whatever reason Justin Turner needs a day off or, you know, he's got a slight injury, who would be the cleanup hitter if that was the case? Would you go with one of the catchers? Would you go with Jano if he's healthy? Or how would you just, I don't think it's going to be a major issue, but I'm just wondering where you would go.
Well, I mean, if Joey comes back, would show you that he could have some competitive at-bats and look like Joey,
mm-hmm.
you could probably throw him in there. He's left-handed. He's been around forever. He's a future Hall of Famer. Like, you're selling that at least if you're a pitcher, you got to make some quality pitches. He ain't going to get himself out consistently.
Right.
It ain't going to do it. You're going to have to get him out. That's a big deal. They don't have a cleanup hitter other than Turner's not a cleanup hitter. Like, he didn't have to hit cleanup for the Dodgers. Like, they had him. They had run producers. He ain't that. He's being asked to do that because he's capable mentally of not knowing that he's hitting in the cleanup spot, which there's a lot to that. You walk by and see your name, cleanup hitter. You got to separate that and stay within yourself and it's okay to hit a 19 hopper to center field. I've said this. I've seen it. I've seen his batting practices. He ain't going outside the box. He is what he is. He's a collision guy, lots of movement. He knows what it takes to stay in a big part of the field. So they ain't got one. They're going to play the hot hand. If that's Joey, if that's Dalton, if that's Kirk, if that's Danny Jansen, if he can play 75 games, and fingers crossed he can do that. He's a great kid. Like, you have conversations with him. Very, very frustrated. Now, for me, he brought this on himself. And the organization did too. Like, you can control some things. I stand on top of the dish, wear it. Enough of this. Like, that did not have to take place. Like, you brought that on yourself. So hopefully going forward, all that's taken care of. He can stay on the team for, say, 75, 80 games. They'll be a better team and a better offense for it. But they ain't got one. A long-winded answer to your question. They ain't got a run. Run producers don't grow on trees. They ain't got any. Like, they got Turner. That's why he's hitting cleanup. And then there's everybody else. And then he'll fill in the blanks the way he thinks the blanks should be filled in.
Wanted to ask you about Bowden Francis. The Jays announced that – no surprise, I think we've come to this conclusion, but it was made officially yesterday that he is now going to be in the starting rotation. He'll get the start in the final game of the Tampa Bay series.
Wait, that's what they said?
Yeah, the final game of Tampa Bay.
So tentative.
He'll slide into the number four spot.
Remember the word, tentative.
It sounds like Gausman goes in Houston, or as you said, Houston or the Bronx, but it sounds right now as if Bowden Francis gets the fourth game.
I mean, they're writing his name in there because there's some unknowns with Gausman. I think if Gausman is raring and ready to go, it'd be Gausman in game four. This is Gausman's. Like, there's certain guys that
first
will tell
three,
people.
First three, we know what it's going to be.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Barrios, Bassett, and Kikuchi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But look, Bowden has done everything. Like, everything they've asked him to do. Now, the team was better with him in the pen, sort of being that Swiss Army knife. Like, I could use him short burst. I could bring him in with a dude at second against a tough righty where he could throw the elevated invisible fastball because he's 15 feet tall and it's hard to tell north and south with him. That's the big thing. I stood behind the catcher when he's throwing. It's coming in hot. I mean, sometimes, most of the time, it's 93, 94. It looks 99. Because I stood like 3 feet behind it. It's like Trevor Richards' changeup. That thing's filthy. He could tell you it's coming. And it's slower this year, too. And it's more of a split finger, too. It's split finger running. He can throw a one. It's sort of circle change, which he can throw for strikes. That thing's filthy. You can tell why nobody can hit that. I got off track there a little bit just because I remember standing back. Because I was standing right beside Mitch White when he threw it. With the iPad. So it was laughter. Like, there was a lot of things going. It was mixed emotions, Jeff. Like, I was so excited to see the change up. I was so excited to see this. And then I see Mitch.
The iPad.
It's like it's all over the place with everything. So, yeah.
The iPads say throw strikes, dummy.
Well, that tells you, is it everything I'm working on with the grip, walking around, holding the ball, is it working? Is it moving the way it's supposed to move? Like, I can't figure that out on my own, which is just funny. It gets back to that. It's more about options than it is performance, which is funny to me. So, long-winded, Bowden earned it.
There you go.
Which is the thing you want to hear if you're on a contending team, and if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, he earned it.
CJ Nitkowski is host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio. He has also joined the Braves TV crew this year. I'm picking the Braves to win the World Series, going out on a limb. Well, at least I'm not picking the Dodgers. I'm picking the Braves to win the World Series.
Dodgers don't have a third baseman. Speaking of third basemen.
CJ Nitkowski is going to join us next. And we'll get back to the back leg line as well. We've got a few more callers. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A very quick reminder that we will be moving to our new time slot on Tuesday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Sportsnet. Might even be in a different studio. 2 to 4 tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Yeah, tune in from 2 to 4 tomorrow.
Let we'll it beat you.
2 to 4, effective Tuesday. And, of course, the regular season starts on... What was that? The regular season starts on Thursday in Tampa against the Rays. The Jays play the first 10 games on the road. The Rays added another player to their injured list, by the way, Joe Aranda. So they won't have Aranda. They won't have...
They're the only team. It doesn't really matter, does it? Oh. Make one in the underground city.
This is the year make one. This is the year I give in. This is the year I give in the Rays. Yeah, I'm not picking them to make the playoffs this year.
Wow.
First time in like 12 years. Do we have CJ there? Let's get right to CJ Nitkowski, host of Loud Outs and MLB Network Radio Braves TV analyst. CJ, thanks for joining us. Hey, I'm picking the Braves to win the World Series this year. Tell me why I shouldn't.
Wow.
I love my new job. I'll tell you why you should. But I'm definitely not going to tell you why you shouldn't. No, they're in good shape. They have a lot of depth, which is, I mean, they're good, first of all, but they have a lot of depth to back it up as well. There's a lot of teams that are good. That are out there in the game with high payrolls and other things. But the depth is kind of what you guys are even talking about a little bit here with the Blue Jays is everybody's concern. And so I think when you talk about trying to survive an entire season and be healthy going into the postseason, which has been an issue for the Braves the last couple of years, they feel well positioned for it.
Okay, CJ, if I'm Alex going into the offseason and I'm thinking about one thing for me anyway, how do I beat the Phillies in the playoffs? Do you think in the offseason?
Again, I think it probably goes back to health, right? You go back a couple years ago when guys unfortunately weren't exactly where they needed to be. They're a good team, but it's having your top starters healthy. I think one of the interesting kind of factors here is Chris Sale and what this looks like over the course of the season. Can they keep him healthy? They know that I don't think they're anticipating 32 starts, right? So there'll be some breaks in there. And the real expectation, yes, you got to get there first, but having an arm like that that can help you in the postseason with that kind of swing and miss, and that swing and miss is still there for him, is really important. I think that's probably one of those keys to go along with Spencer Strider and, of course, Matt Street. That's how they get there. They have the offense to do it. I know they didn't hit last postseason against the Phillies, and they certainly have some really good pitching as well. But it does become a little bit more about making sure that your guys are healthy and going head-to-head and playing some really good games and doing the little things right.
CJ, with Chris, what do you think? Because I'm assuming they didn't bring him in there to change him mechanically, right? He is what he is with the arm angle and the crossfire and just he's trying to stuff you to death as quickly as he possibly can. Have you seen anything different from him? Like, is he backing off certain things? Is he throwing things differently to maybe try and get deeper into a game? Or is it just, I'm going to go out there and let that thing eat for as long as I can?
Yeah, I don't think you can take a guy like that and ask him do less. It just doesn't work, right? I mean, I know as guys get older, they probably become a little bit more conservative when it comes to the workload, the work that they do leading up to the season, maybe what they do in between. Same thing with hitters, right? We see less and less guys hitting every day, hitting on the field. I think the same goes for pitching. We didn't get to see Sale. We thought we were going to have him in our first television game, but he threw in the backfields instead. So I haven't actually seen him live yet at all, but based on everything that we're hearing, you know, he finished the season so healthy. He said it was the first offseason that he went into healthy in 6 years.
Wow.
And so to be able to come out and have that full offseason and everything be feeling good and coming into spring feeling really good. I doubt that he's going to back it off. I think it probably becomes more about the Braves' decisions on pitch management and innings management. And even if he's going well early on, I got to believe they're going to be really careful as far as how much he throws as opposed to at what level and what the intensity looks like. Mm.
What are expectations for Spencer Strider this year? I was led to believe that I read earlier this year he was working on incorporating a new pitch. Why would that be, and how is that coming along?
So, yeah, he's added a curveball. It's pretty nasty. This guy is one of these pitchers that is just so intuitive to every little thing that he does from the moment he walks into the ballpark, and quite honestly, probably even starts before that. He's just so detail-oriented. He's a really fascinating guy, really intelligent, knows his body well. I'd asked him in the offseason about a changeup because he's predominantly fastball slider. He's thrown some changeups, but mostly fastball slider, and he set a Braves record last year for strikeouts, beating John Smoltz's franchise record. And so it's like, well, do you really need to add anything? And so when I asked him about the changeup, he went into a pretty lengthy explanation about how his body does not really move well to throw the changeup the way that you probably want it to. He said, but I may have a couple of tricks up my sleeve, and then certainly one of those tricks we learned this spring training ends up being that slower curveball. It's been good. He's thrown it in lots of counts. He's had spring training where he could play with it a little bit, although it's been a pretty intense spring training for him. He also has talked about how he's learned in the past of not coming into spring training when you have the teammate of just kind of putting it on cruise control. He's tried to turn the intensity up early here, and it's been great. He has had a monster spring training, and so that curveball for him has only made him better with that plus fastball in the upper 90s and touching triple digits and the filthy slider he has. He's just put in the back of the head, as Barker certainly attests to, that there is now a slower breaking pitch that's really good that you have to be aware of.
Yeah, it's kind of cool seeing him do that, knowing that Rick Kranitz is there. And Rick Kranitz, I don't know if he was Greg Maddux's first pro coach, but he was there really early in Greg Maddux's career, wasn't he? So you got a good touch, or you got a good person to talk to there if you're bringing in a curve.
No doubt. And Cranny does a really nice job. And, he's kind of an old school guy, which is big here in Atlanta, right? You have a young team, a really good team. And, of course, we know where the game is analytically. And it's certainly not to say that they ignore it. But there is also a really nice feel of kind of the old school mentality. Yes, they use the data. They use the technology to get guys where they need to be. But at the end of the day, it's about competing. It's about winning. There seems like there's a lot of really cool conversations that go on between these players and these coaches, and they're so, so selfless, which is really cool to see. I mean, sometimes you run into both players and coaches. Sometimes it becomes about them or their reputation, and when guys do well, especially on the coaching side, something that kind of goes into your bio, and you get a real feel here real quickly that this coaching staff is all about winning. It is all about the players. How can I make you better? What can I do that's going to help us win? To get you where you need to go, where we all want to go, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, you're going to have fun covering the Braves this year with just everything they do. Athletes run all over the field, so that's going to be a lot of fun for you. But I want to ask you about the Blue Jays, and, there's a lot of talk about the offensive side of the ball, and I wonder when you put a lot of pressure, the ownership here and the front offices have basically come out and said this is about the core, right? We expect a lot more from the core. They're going to take our team where they ultimately are going to take it. But that's a lot of pressure. Like in past experiences, the teams have you been on where expectations one year were there, it didn't happen. Did it come back the next year that easy and sort of, you go from scoring 4.5 a game to 5 a game? Is that too much to ask, you think?
I don't, especially for exactly the reason that you said. I mean, yeah, the core is older, but you talk about Bo and you talk about Vladdy and how young those guys are. I do think there's something to adding Justin Turner. If there was any feelings that you didn't like going on in that clubhouse, I think he'll be the guy that does a really nice job of taking care of that and making sure that none of those negative thoughts come over from a year ago and the season not going exactly the way that they anticipated and a pretty quick exit for the postseason. I think that was a really important add for them. Of course, George Springer, I think, goes in that category as well, but he's there. He had the uniform on. So I wouldn't worry about a person, at least from the outside, of any of the kind of ghosts and demons from a year ago carrying over. It does ultimately become about the production. The thing I'm concerned about is, what's going on at third base and second base. And at the end of the season, when we go to look at the Blue Jays and we tally the offensive numbers, if we just look at, give me the OPS of third base and second base,
not the guys individually, but just as a position when the year is over, is that going to be enough to help support what you're asking the middle of that lineup to do? Because, yeah, there's good players, really good players in the middle of that lineup, but you're going to need some help below that. And if you don't run deep enough in this division right now, I think that's where I get a little bit concerned. And I know they're going to plug and play and do some platoons, and there'll be a focus on defense over at third with Connor Falefa, who is, you know, had in Texas for a few years and is just a fantastic defender. But the bat is a little bit light for a position that you'd expect some slug and some OPS to come out of. That's the thing that I'd be a little bit concerned about offensively. I'm not worried about the core. Vladdy looked really good against the Braves the other day when we did our first spring training game, and getting the ball in the air and doing it against Raisel Iglesias is really good. The closer who started that game, it's going to be more about what's happening below those guys for me.
Last question for us. J.D. Martinez signed with the Mets yesterday. He's off the board. Jordan Montgomery is kind of the last remaining member of the Boris 4 or the Boris 5. You were at the Rangers last year. You obviously saw Jordan Montgomery. What team makes the most sense for him at this point, CJ?
I think the Yankees still do. Mm-hmm. I think the Mets actually still do, quite honestly, not to just go to the big, you know, two New York teams. I think the Rangers would like to have him. They just don't think they have the money to be able to make it happen. And they know they're going to get healthy in the second half anyway. At least they're anticipating that with Scherzer, DeGrom, and Maley. And then I think, you know, the Angels, if they wanted to seriously contend, it would have made some sense as well. It's not just, you know, and I wouldn't want to do it. It depends on the team, too, as far as, they say a multi-year deal, but opt out in the first year. Like, if I'm the Mets, I'm not interested in an opt out in the first year because they're going to lose some pitching next year. And so they want someone that knows it's going to be there for a while. You could say the same thing about the Boston Red Sox. There are still plenty of fits for him. If you wanted to go the one-year opt out, yeah, maybe back to a place like St. Louis, maybe to Houston with the issues that they're having, where he comes in and if he wants to opt out after year one, that's fine. They just need some help right now. Because of the injuries, but there are no shortage of teams in which he would fit. And he's been so unbelievably reliable the last 3 years. That's one of the things that sticks out. I know there's questions about Snell and how many innings he throws and that kind of stuff. You don't have that question with Jordan Montgomery. You know what you're going to get. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to get a deal done. It's really unfortunate that we've already played two big league games in Korea. We're inside of a week of opening day, and Jordan Montgomery isn't even in a spring training yet. It's not good for the game, and I hate to see it.
CJ, we're going to let you run, man. Best of luck in your new gig this year. Should be a lot of fun, and thanks for your time. You know, we know how valuable it is, and you know we appreciate it, my friend. Thanks, buddy. Be well.
Yeah. My pleasure. Always great to catch up. See you guys.
Take care. CJ Nikowski, host of Loud Outs and MLB Network Radio and Braves TV analyst. The Jays have made a change to their lineup for today's game. Eduardo Escobar has been dropped. Addison Barger will move to third base. Will Robertson. And I don't know if there's anything to read into that necessarily, but I figured I would pass that on to you. 107 will be the first pitch on Sportsnet as the Jays take on the Boston Red Sox. Back to the back leg line.
Just wondering, who do you think is more likely to get extended, Vladdy or Bo? Thanks, guys. And on a little note, let's bring back the home run jacket.
That's Jeff from Morden, Manitoba. I still don't believe that there's somebody with my name in my hometown still. It could be, but anyhow, I just think.
Can I say neither?
Well, you beat me to it. But yeah, more likely to get extended, Bo or Vlad. If you'd asked me 4 years ago, I would have said Vlad. If you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have said Vlad. If you asked me last year, I would have said Bo. If you asked me this year, if you asked me the start of spring training, I would have said Bo. I'm kind of with Barker here. I'm trying to see if you're not going to sign these guys in a year where you did have that money available. And I get why the business case for Ohtani was different than everybody else. At this point, does it make sense for Vladdy? I don't know. I don't think it makes sense for Bo based on what shortstops are getting and based on the fact that Bo is going to be. Just imagine if Bo is a better shortstop defensively at the end of this year than he is right now, which is possible. I think Bo's in the position where he's going to make more money than Vlad when he becomes a free agent.
I'm not sure if anybody cares the way he plays defense. He's catching the ball right at him most of the time, which is the biggest deal out of all of that.
But what I'm saying, if he is good enough defensively, then maybe you start looking at teams that already have an older shortstop, they may say, you know what, we'll bring Bo in and we can maybe take our older shortstop dude and move him to second base. I think Bo has increased. I think, the number of teams that would be available to him. But I'm with you. I at this point, I would be blown away if either one of them.
Yeah, I don't think they have to. I think that's what it comes down to. It doesn't make good business sense to do it. I mean, they gave Bo 3 years. They made him happy enough to, you know, to warrant that he's the everyday shortstop for a championship team, which is his words, not mine. He wanted that. He got it. They were listening. That's a big deal. You know, and then the Vladdy thing, it's just hard for me to believe that they're on the same page and that they're going to sign Vladdy. I just don't see it. Like, there's a lot of unknowns there. What is Vladdy? Who is Vladdy?
And I got to say,
how do you
pay
Vladdy? That's the thing.
I wonder if this is the thing. You got to remember, Vladdy was signed by Alex Anthopoulos. Now, Mark Shapiro took over. I think Vladdy's contract was actually done 6 weeks before Mark took over. But once Mark took over, you know, the Jays, that's a different front office. That's a different scouting system. That's a different, there's a lot of different people in there. And part of me kind of wonders if that is, who's to say that everybody in there right now thinks of Vladdy the way Alex's people thought of Vladdy.
How about coming and asking us after Vladdy wears that jacket 40 times?
Yeah.
This year.
Home run jacket. I mean, bring it back. Bring back home run jackets. I don't know. Whatever. Mountie uniform. Whatever you want to do. Bring it back.
There's some tension there. We'll see if it comes.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's a question a lot of people ask. But I got to tell you this. If they don't win a playoff series this year, I'm looking to move one of those guys. Because I got to get younger. I got to have my next window coming up. I hate to tell you this. I got to get the next core going. And I don't know if I got the next core in hand right now. I got to get the next core going. Mm. One more call. Bob from Toronto. Let's squeeze this one in.
Sometimes what you wish for and you don't get and you're disappointed turns out to be something not so bad after all.
No, that never happens.
How would you like to have the Blue Jays having Shohei Ohtani right now with what else is going on in his life, his interpreter's life, and just the whole aspect of betting on baseball and the implications?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, we don't know. There's no indication that the interpreter bet on baseball. Indeed, it appears as if he doesn't. The question more than, or the point of contention more than anything else is that it's illegal to wager on sports in California, and he was using a bookmaker. The interpreter was using a bookmaker. We're led to believe he wasn't gambling in baseball. Again, there's no connection. There's nothing to suggest that Shohei Ohtani has gambled on any sport or on baseball. I will say this, though. A couple of people made a point yesterday, and I thought it was good. You know, Shohei Ohtani has been given, he basically runs his own thing. He's got all his own people, he's got all this. I get the impression that Shohei Ohtani, I don't think he's the type of guy that's had to go into a grocery store and say, okay, do I buy the family pack of Raisin Bran or do I, you know what I'm saying? He's got people. I think there's some things that Shohei Ohtani might be overmatched by. Now, if I'm sending wire transfers for $4.5 million, at some point I'm probably going to say to the guy, like, why are we doing this? But all that aside, hell yeah, I have Shohei Ohtani.
Now,
if the IRS, let's see where this investigation goes, because we know that these things, once the government gets involved, they're going to go everywhere.
It's a mess for sure. No question. But just,
and it's also,
talent-wise.
It's also already been a distraction for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are in Korea, and they have a team meeting before the first game of the year where the manager has to stand up and go, guys, there's going to be a story coming out in the media in the next 48 hours that, you know, you're going to be asked a lot about. But,
I'm
you
not
know,
sure
Kevin,
the players on that team matter.
Betts cares about, you think Freddie Freeman?
I mean, I'm sure they do because they like Ohtani and they care about his feelings.
But do you think that Freddie Freeman goes up to the plate going, Shohei,
as soon as I walk to the plate, I could care less.
No. So the bottom line is, I would still take Shohei Ohtani.
No question. Our conversation wouldn't be fourth place.
No.
I can promise you that.
I'll tell you this, though. And if I'm signing a guy to $700 million, I'm going to make sure all his interpreters, all his fart catchers, all his hangers-on, I'm going to make certain... What? Fart catchers is a word.
What is that?
That's just a guy that follows a guy behind and cleans up his mess, you know, and and washes his car.
Sounds like you've done that before.
No, but it's a gopher. I'm going to make sure all of those I'm going to make sure I know that all of those people are above board. And I'm sorry, I failed to believe that the Dodgers couldn't have found somebody to say, you know, we're hiring 150 people to take care of this guy. Maybe a private investigator. Yeah, can you just kind of dig into these
that's
guys?
That's Ohtani's choice. That's not the Dodgers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm checking into
people. You
want to
make him happy? That's what comes with it.
Well, anyhow. Apparently not. Apparently a dude's been fired. And according to the Ohtani's contract, apparently there's a list of people in there who, if they're fired, his contract gets reopened at the end of the year.
Yeah, good luck.
Jay's going to go back for Ohtani.
Good luck.
That's it for us.
What did you say?
We'll be back. The Jay's going to go back for Ohtani. We'll be back on Monday. Mark Shapiro, loved hearing that. Have a great day.